Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Robert Venable, inviting you to stay tuned to this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. Hope that you will take time out of the busy day to go to God's Word and hear what the Bible has to say. This is the most incredible book in all of the world. It's still, as I understand it, the greatest best-selling book of any book that has ever been written. It's also the most controversial book, the most hated book in some circles, but I'm telling you something, I do love the Word of the Lord. In the ancient book of Job in the Bible, Job said, "I've esteemed thy word, O Lord, more than my necessary food." Amen. If you're a Christian, I pray today that you will find in the Word of God the strength that for your spirit that you need to stand tall and strong in these last days. And if you're not a Christian, I pray that you will stay tuned to this broadcast and that you will hear God's great plan of salvation and His great purpose in saving us. What He wants to do, He's not just giving away free tickets to heaven. He has a plan and a purpose for every man, woman, boy, and girl on this planet. And I pray that you will stay tuned to this broadcast today. We're so happy to be right here again on WMAF. We're glad for this radio station. We're glad for fellow ministers, pastors in particular in the Madison area that broadcast on this station as well. We pray that you will listen to the Word of God and that you will tell people about this station. This is just a great station. I've enjoyed it in the times that I have opportunity to listen as it streams by computer. So anyone anywhere in the world that has a computer and is online can listen to WMAF. Just type in WMAF home, and that will take you to the homepage of this radio station where it's 24/7. There's good programming, and you can also tell them to listen to this broadcast on WMAF and our Sunday afternoon broadcast from 12 until 1. Sunday morning alive and Let's Talk About Jesus at 2 p.m. here on Tuesday. So we just pray you'll help us advertise this station and these broadcasts and help someone to hear the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ as well as just good programming. Amen. So today we're going to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12 through 18. We're going to talk about transformed by the Spirit, God's incredible plan to make us like His Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What a plan this is that God has, and what a purpose God has for His people, that we would become like His Son. Someone said one time that Jesus is the man that God wants every man to be like. He is the divine pattern. As someone said again, if God could be a man, Jesus is the man that He would be. Well, there's more to it than that. Jesus was God manifest in the flesh, the second person of the Godhead, Emmanuel, God with us. And Jesus said when he talks so much to and about the Father, the great God of creation, and the disciples said, show us the Father, Lord, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said, have you been with me this long and you don't recognize me? When you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Another verse of Scripture said, in Him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That is an incredible statement to make. Amen. And even as incredible is that God wants every one of us to become more and more like His Son. If you have your Bible today, turn with me for a context for the text. Verse 2 Corinthians 3:18, it would be our text, but to put it in context, we're going to read from verse 12 down to verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3:12 through 18. God's incredible plan to make us like His Son. The Bible said, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. One translation says, as we behold in the Word of God, like a mirror reflected back to us His face, we are transformed, we are changed into His image, even from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. There's a vital truth that keeps emerging in Scripture, namely, God wants all His children to become progressively more like Jesus. This is the prize of the high calling and the greatest work of the Holy Spirit in the Christian life. Amen. Remember what Paul said in Scripture? He said, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth to those things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. You know, folks, that's not just going to heaven. That's not just living forever in the holy city. The prize of the high calling, we need to talk about the high calling. The highest calling in the Christian life is to become like Jesus Christ. It is the highest priority in God's kingdom, after saving you and saving me. Let me read something to you that will clarify that. From Romans 8, verse 28 and 29, it said, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are the called according to His purpose. And verse 29 identifies that purpose very clearly. It says, for whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Folks, this is the highest calling in the Christian life. God in His sovereign power uses everything that touches our life to accomplish this end. If we love Him enough to fully surrender to His will and to pursue His purpose, everything that touches our life, God will bend it, subdue it, to bring us more into a Christ-like character. And in that sense, all things then will work together for good. Amen. Whatever breaks me down sometimes and causes me to go to God in deep humility and meekness and faith and desperation sometimes, all of that serves God's purpose to make me more like His Son. Amen. As I yield more and more to Him, as we surrender more to the will and purpose of God in our life, God is able to shape us and mold us and make us more like Jesus. Amen. I like the way it reads in the Authorized King James Romans 12, 1 and 2. Listen to this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body is a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Folks, this is what God wants to do. He wants to transform. He wants to change. You know, we can't change ourselves. I respect and love Jesus Christ so much. I want to be more like Him. And I have tried to just make adjustments in my own power of my own will and flesh to be more like Christ. But folks, every time I try, I stumble, I fall, I fail. It's through the Word of God and our heart's desire to please Him that this change is wrought within us. And all true ministry will point us toward Christ-likeness and challenge us to take up our cross and follow Him. Listen to this. Let me read that statement again. I wrote this down several years ago. All true ministry will point us toward Christ-likeness and challenge us to take up our cross and follow Him. I said true ministry, God-given ministry, that is following through with what the Lord purposes, will always point us toward Christ-likeness. It will always serve to change us from the inside out to fulfill God's purpose. Whoever He foreknew, He predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. Listen to Ephesians 4 to verify this, 11 through 13. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Listen to verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Folks, God wants to transform us, to change us by His Spirit and His Word. The question is, will we cooperate with Him? Are we willing, truly willing, to open our hearts and lives to this glorious work of God? You know, you may not even be a Christian out there, and you're saying, God wants me to be progressively more like Jesus. You know, I can't do that. There's no possible way. Well, listen, if it were left up to me to do it, I couldn't. No Christian could. You couldn't. I couldn't. No one could. But we're not on our own down here. The Holy Spirit has been given. And the Bible said God's going to change us by His Spirit. Amen. Progressively more and more into the image of His Son. And the fivefold ministry set in the church to bring God's Word to us as we behold in the Word of God His true image, His true self. We are transformed. That word transformed in the Greek is a wonderful word. It comes from the word, it is the word metamorpho. And we get a word from it that in basic biology, it's the word metamorphosis. And it is applied particularly when a caterpillar goes into a cocoon and the change takes place and he comes out of that cocoon a beautiful butterfly. Something so entirely different. You would never dream that that beautiful monarch butterfly was once just an old worm on a leaf. Hallelujah. Sometimes you look at Christians that just are so vibrant and so filled with the glory of God. I'm not saying every Christian is perfected in that sense, but there are Christians that just shine. Their lives shout, there's been a change in me. Amen. And you wonder, how did that happen? Did they just turn over a new leaf? Did they just decide to do so much better? No, this is something that is happening by the Spirit of God within. And it can happen to you. God can change you from the inside out. You can't change you from the outside in, but God can change you from the inside out. So many people hesitate in making the commitment to come to Christ as their Savior because they believe that they would be hypocritical. They believe they can't change themselves, and there's a truth in that. You can't change yourself. The good news is you don't have to change yourself. You receive Christ as your personal Savior. God, by His Spirit that will come within you, He will make the changes. He won't violate your will. But if you want the change, God will come in, and the God who created this universe can work creatively in your life and mine. Hallelujah. Amen. He's not done with me yet. He's still working on me. Praise God. I passed a church on my way to church, and their marquee out front, their sign out front, and the road was actually under construction, and there was a lot of dust and debris, and it said, and give the name of the road. The particular road was Park Road here in Plant City, and it said Park Road and Our Lives Under Construction. And that's an absolute true statement. Amen. God isn't finished with us yet. God isn't finished with me yet. I have been a Christian for over 35 years. I preached the gospel for 35 years. God isn't through with me yet, because I'm certainly not the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus, but I am still under construction. God is still working on me. Hallelujah. And I'm so grateful that my life hasn't become a stagnant. It hasn't become a stalemate spiritually. God still challenges me. God still is changing me. And I pray that we used to have a saying in our church that you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Amen. Because we're going to get in the Bible. We're going to preach the unadulterated word of God, and as we behold as in a glass, and we're going to preach Jesus too, not just Bible principles alone, we're going to cover them, but a Bible, a biblical person, and that person is Jesus Christ. As we behold, amen, the Father through the revelation of the Son, we are changed in His image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of God. A mighty Holy Ghost metamorphosis begins to take place. Some people have just sat down on God, and that work has stopped and in their life. That ongoing work has stopped, and I challenge you today, amen, to get that first love rekindled, to get soft before God, to open your heart, not just your ears, when the Word of God is preached and taught, so that the Holy Spirit can do an exciting work again in you and me. Hallelujah. God is so desirous. The ministry set in the church for the grandest purpose of all, and that is to bring us into that wonderful fullness of character until Jesus is seen through our very lives. Hallelujah. A letter from a Canadian missionary was quoted in an article by Mary Lou Stam, and it had a powerful effect on me when I read it recently. She had spent many years on the mission field and wrote the following upon her return. When I returned from Zaire, I felt I had lost my reason for living, my friends, my home, my companions, my job, and my belongings were all gone. I was too exhausted to think of a job, too insecure to consider entering a new situation. I was going to drop out. I hated using the telephone. I felt totally inadequate before a simple electronic calculator. Although I resented watching the things that I saw here, I found myself longing for them. I enjoyed the carefully and tastefully decorated homes. Then would come the memory of a fragile mother crumpled at my feet, begging for a bar of soap for a baby of 2 hours old, clutched under a dirty cloth. How could I ever find meaning again in a culture that had everything and threw away more food and clothing than my country had ever seen? God has shown me slowly and painfully that I need to change. I need to grow. Need to know that He is not so interested in our service as He is in ourselves. Preacher, are you listening to this today? God is more interested in you and me becoming like His Son than He is what we do for Him. It doesn't mean what we do for Him, our calling, is not vital and important, but our growing in Christ is simply more important. And so many people, Christian workers in particular, quit growing in Christ when we find our calling and we just get busy blessing others, and quit quit growing in our and developing in our own Christian life. And I believe that's why Christian leadership many times begin to fall back and even to fail. That work was never supposed to stop. I talked to a man one time that had a tremendously effective evangelistic ministry. I won't call his name, but he went from just being a pastor of a local church to a television celebrity for a season. He was on television in several markets. He moved to Atlanta to have his headquarters. And he got so involved, so many opportunities to minister that he couldn't hardly keep up with them all. He began to travel the world as well as the United States and minister. And always giving out. He had a tremendous personable personality, plus an anointing, plus a knowledge of the Word of God. And I just couldn't get enough of listening to him speak, and obviously others couldn't. But he went through nervous exhaustion. He went through a time where his marriage became in jeopardy, where his own, he said, just choosing a coat and matching tie to wear to the studio became an overwhelming, burdensome task. That's incredible to think about. You'd think it'd be a joy to go before a camera and tell people about Jesus, but he had overextended himself. And he said even his family was in jeopardy. His faith began to waver. His personal life began to feel the effects of spiritual fatigue. And he ended up in Rome, Italy, fulfilling a preaching engagement. He said he was standing at a fountain. It was in the area where they filmed an old movie from way back called Three Coins in a Fountain in Italy. And he said there were three great lions, sculptures, and out of their mouth poured the waters into the pool at this fountain. And as he looked at these three majestic lions with water pouring out their mouth, he said the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him and said, "Son, this is my ministry on so many occasions. Mightily anointed men and women pouring out and never ever drinking in." And that could be you today if you're a minister of the gospel, a Sunday school teacher, a missionary, evangelist, pastor, church worker, always pouring out but not stopping to drink in. And I found out something. You can give out. You must drink in. We never, because of our calling, our position, our anointing, get to the place that we don't need to sit and receive the Word of God and to sit in His presence and to seek His face, not just prepare a sermon on Saturday night, but seek the Lord like we used to seek Him before we had all of these spiritual responsibilities. There are churches full of Christian workers but void of true revival. Too many Christians are so preoccupied with what they are called to do for the Lord, they forget what they are called to be. So many times we're looking for people with great leadership skills. We're looking for people with mighty anointings. We're looking for people that can preach or teach so wonderfully. And we're not looking for someone that can actually flesh out the character of Jesus Christ. And what we need in the church today is spiritual leadership that can say from a life that is being progressively changed, follow me as I follow Christ. We need Christian leadership to be followers of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1 simply says, "Be ye followers of God as dear children, and walk even as He, Jesus, walked, and walk in love." Hallelujah. I want to be more like my Sovereign. I want to be more like my Savior. More. T- tell me more. The old camp meeting song says, tell me more about Jesus, more of his mercy, more of his grace, more of his love my soul can trace. Tell me more and more about Jesus. As we behold in the Word of God his face, we are changed. We are changed by the Spirit of God from the inside out, from glory to glory. Hallelujah. More and more progressively, like our great Savior and our great Master. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'll tell you today, if you're not a Christian, you're listening to what this challenge to Christian leadership and to Christians in general. Amen. I want you to know that God can change you today. He'll not only forgive your sin, but he will begin a wonderful, mighty work within, and you will have a purpose. And that purpose is to know him more progressively than to become through that knowledge more and more like him in your character. That is what has such impact when we see people coming to the Lord as someone that they know. That they see the change in a life. We had a young lady come to our ministry that was just really strung out on drugs. So out of it the first service that she just absolutely, I don't think understood anything that was said or felt anything. But so people kept encouraging her, and she came back again and again. And one of the times when she came back, God touched her deep within. And oh, the change that has come in that young woman's life. It encourages me so much as a minister of the gospel to see God working from the inside out. And this young woman couldn't change herself. She couldn't break the chains of habit that had her bound. But God could, and God did. She accepted the challenge to receive Jesus Christ as her personal Savior, just like she was. You know, I love the song, "Just As I Am, Without One Plea, But That Thy Blood Was Shed For Me, And That Thou Bidst Me Come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I Come." That's the call of God today. If you don't know Jesus and you're listening to this broadcast, he wants you to come just like you are and receive Christ as your personal Savior. Repent of your sins. Amen. You don't have to make promises to him that you feel you can't keep. Amen. Just receive Christ as your Savior. Indicate to him that you want to be changed. Hallelujah. You don't want this habit anymore. You don't want to put your family at risk, your health at risk, folks, your soul at risk anymore. You want to be saved and you want to be changed. And I'm telling you, if you're sincere, God will save you, God will forgive you, and God will go to work on you. I've often said, amen, that he accepts us when we come to Christ to repent of our sins just like we are. But he loves us too much to leave us that way. I'm glad he's that kind of God. I'm glad he never gives up on us. I'm glad he's still working on this preacher today. I'm glad to declare to you what he can do in your heart and in your life. God's not going to get through with me in this world. I'm not going to become just like Jesus. But until the absolute change comes when Jesus comes for us, the Holy Spirit is going to work from the inside out. He will never let up. He's relentless. We could sit down on God as Christians and stop this work, but God will not stop working. So today, if you don't know him, would you open your heart and say, Jesus, I want this change. I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. Save me and change me. And if you're a Christian today, this Sunday, would you open your heart, not just your ears at church, and let the Word of God begin to move into your heart and life, and let the Holy Spirit begin to change you again. Well, our time is gone. Be sure and come back next week, and let's talk about Jesus.